By the way, that's the third time that we memorized that verse. Did you notice? Good. At least you noticed. The hope is, by lucky seven, we'll be able to memorize that verse, because it's verse seven. I want to begin today by, first of all, we're a smaller group today, but I still know you as the congregation, this English congregation, and I want to thank all of you for your support for my family over the last 2 weeks. It's something that I will never forget, and it has been a great strength to me and to my family to know that you are there and to have had your support. Let's have a word of prayer before I begin. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this fellowship that we have in Christ Jesus, because it is through Christ Jesus that we are here. It is because he lives that we also live. It is because of your great love for us despite our sin that we have hope for everlasting life. And I pray, Lord, that the words that I speak today will be your words and not my own, that the weakness that I have, Lord, will not prevent your word from coming through to each one who is here, so that they can learn how wide and how deep and how high the love of Jesus Christ is for each one of us. And I pray, Lord, also that we would begin to understand just how wonderful and how great your love is. In your name we pray, amen. We're going on in 1 John to three important verses. It's actually only three verses there that I intended to speak about, 15 through 17. So if you want to turn to those verses, I'm going to refer to those throughout. If I can find it. Just want to read them again to you. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but of the world. From the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. Verse 15 is a very important verse for us to begin with because of different reasons, but one thing grabbed my attention. It says, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It begins by saying we shouldn't love, we shouldn't do this. We shouldn't love the world or anything in the world. But it says this condition, if anyone loves the world, that means the love of the Father is not in him. So it's not saying that we're loving God or taking action like that. It means that the love of the Father is not in him. And I thought that was an interesting way of putting it. So in order for us to be doing things right, we have to have the love of the Father in us. And it seems evident that what John is trying to say to us is that we have to have our eyes on the right thing, and our lives aimed in the right direction, and the wrong direction is in the direction of the world. Now, I went to get some help on understanding what the world means in this sense, and I found the best description of what that is from someone named Zane Hodges. He's a commentary writer, a scholar, and what he wrote is that the world, in this sense, is a system of values and goals that exclude God. The world, is a system of values and goals that exclude God. So basically, it's a place or a system that tries to keep God out of its way. Okay. Recently, in order for us to understand this a little bit better, there was very conveniently a disturbing story in the news. I think maybe you might have heard about it. Up in Massachusetts, there was a case in a high school where 17 girls decided together that they were all going to get pregnant and have babies. Did you hear about that story? Yeah. I don't know whether it was completely true or not. There seems to be a lot of discussion, and it made a lot of news, big news. And it seems that these girls that were in high school chose someone that they could have a baby with, and they went and did it. And the reason that they found out is that the school nurse was having reports of girls becoming sick, having morning sickness, and they all went to the nurse, and it became evident that they were pregnant. They were all going to have babies. Pretty disturbing stuff, guys. Pretty disturbing stuff. Now, the funny thing is, this gives us a good idea of how the world works, okay? Every time I go to the AMP, I see pictures of women in the last, probably over the last year or two, who are all either in pop music, rock music, movie stars. Christina Aguilera comes to mind. There are different people that you read about, and you see them in various stages of pregnancy. They're all going to have babies, and it makes the front page of whatever it is, whatever magazine that is sitting next to the cash register. Okay, and it's a pattern, it's a trend, something that is that they have chosen to do, and it wasn't just one of them, it was like a number of different people. And the thing that is consistent with all of them, or almost all of them, is that they're not married. And so you don't even see the man involved, you just see the star with her belly that is sticking out, and she's dressed, and she has this big smile on her face, and she's feeling very proud of herself, and they're following her pregnancy in different stages as she goes along. And I noticed that, you know, and it's hard to avoid noticing it. So it's all over the place, right? And so the world has this view of pregnancy that, first of all, it's okay to have a baby without being married, right? That's the first thing. And the second thing is that they want to make a big deal of it. They want to make this whole scene seem like it's surreal and it's as though no one ever had a baby before. People have babies every day. But they decided that they were going to sell this, and it caught on. And what it said to me was that they were encouraging this to happen, and if you want to be big, if you want to be poppy, if you want to be the latest fad, if you want to be rich, then you better have a baby to keep up with whoever else is doing it. Right? So all these kids are watching that, and these girls were watching that, and then they go ahead and they say, you know what, I think I better have a baby, because it seems like the right thing to do, and that seems like the flashy thing to do, and my favorite music star is pregnant, so let's go and do it. So they chose anybody. It didn't matter who it was just convenient. The main thing was, I need to have a baby. And so they did. And this is the way the world works, okay? This is the way the world works. They get pregnant, it goes into the news, and the very same people who were flashing it up on Channel 4 or whatever station that you watch and saying, hey, this person is having a baby, and this famous person is having a baby, and all these great things about having a baby outside of being married, are now coming to those people and those families, and they're saying, what happened here? What happened here? This is a travesty. Look at these young girls. How could something like this happen? They're all getting pregnant, they made this pact, and they've decided they're all going to have babies. How could something like this happen? And they say, don't you know that all of those movie stars are all rich, and they can afford to take care of babies? They can hire people like nannies to come and take care of their babies? And don't these young girls understand what they were getting into? And that's the way the world works. They set you up, and they lead you on to believe that something is important, and then in the end, they turn their backs on you, and in the end, you look like you have a big problem, and in the end, you do have a problem. And that's the way the world works. And that's the world that we're talking about here. It's a world that is totally messed up. It is a world that is excluding God and any sense of moral values whatsoever, so that they can make money off of you. And that's the world that John is talking about. And he's saying, don't love the world. Don't get caught up in the world. And he's not just saying it because he doesn't want you to have a good time. He has many, many good reasons for saying that, okay? And I think what we're going to see today is that there's a much better thing that he has to offer than what the world has to offer. But that's the world that we live in. It's good that we know that. And it's good to know at your age, especially, you know, we have a lot of younger people, but also for the parents to wake up and smell the coffee and to know exactly what is going on around us. We shouldn't wait for things to come to the minds of our children like that and then react and say, how could you do that? And make them feel like they're totally on their own and lost and without any love whatsoever. Can you imagine what is going through the families, lives, and minds right now of those children who have decided to have a baby with someone they don't even know? Can you imagine being the child that is going to grow up knowing that you came out of a relationship like that? We have totally lost all concept of moral values, and it's being provided for by people buying those magazines. So it's not just the people selling the magazines, it's everybody buying those magazines. It's all over the place. And really what God is trying to say to each one of us here today is that you and I have a responsibility to tell people what the truth is. It is not for us to stand by and watch everybody fall into these traps. We are to warn the people in the world just as John is doing here. I'm not saying that we need to be political activists, but it might not hurt. We need to start thinking about our position as Christians in a world that is dying, and at the very least have the boldness to stand up and say, I know what the real truth is, and the truth is that the love of God is what we need, and not the love of this world. Okay? He goes on to say, for everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. Okay? So there's three things here. The cravings of sinful man, right? Things that you have to have and you get consumed with, and that take your mind off of God. If we're excluding God, then these things are taking the place of him. Okay? And I'm talking to people here, I think we understand each other. We're all prone to that. Nobody, you know, who cares about age? But we have to help each other understand just exactly what we're talking about here. The cravings that we have. The lust of the eyes. In another version I read for the first one, it was the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh. The lust of the eyes. The things that we see, that we want to have, become more important than God. Right? And that's what gets us thrown off. Those girls followed their eyes and they saw what they conceived of as being success and power and something good, and they figured, well, then let's do it. In fact, they said that they were giving each other high fives after they found out that each one was pregnant. And so we look down at this world and we don't think, point the finger at them, we start to point the finger at ourselves and we say, yeah, I can see how that can happen. I've been there, I've done that kind of a thing. I know exactly how that feels because I have fallen into the trap of sin. One of the biggest things that is all through the Bible and all through the commentaries on this section of Scripture is that this world is ruled by Satan. It belongs to him. And he's a troublemaker. He's a liar. He wants kids to be pulled into this kind of trash. He wants lives to be destroyed. And we're going to talk about a little bit later why that is. But he is the ruler of this world. And so we have God on this one side who is full of love, that is uplifting, encouraging, and life-giving. And we have Satan who is over on this other side who is full of wickedness and hatred and wants to see people destroyed. So that's the kind of world that we're talking about, and that's the kind of world that he's giving to us here. We had the college young people come and tell us, when you go to college, you better beware, because it's a big shock if you don't expect it. There's a lot of drunks and drug takers in college these days. And it was the same thing when I was going to college. It becomes very shocking for you, but that's the world, guys. That's the world. But we need to retain a sense that we have a God who is greater than that world, and we have to retain a sense that we are effective in this world to present them with something that is going to save them. And Jesus taught us in John, the same John that was writing 1 John said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, will not die, but have everlasting life." And so God, on one side, is saying, do not love the world, but on the other hand, he's saying, I love the world because I want to save it. Okay, so there's an important difference here that we have to understand. We do not have the attitude of the world and want and desire the things of the world, but we are seeing the world as a place, a group of people that need to be saved from their sin, and God loves them just like he loves you and me. But we are not to love the world, we are not to be of the world. Okay? The last one, there's another version. It says the boasting of what he has and does, right? The first was the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes was the second, and then the boasting of what he has and does comes not from the Father, but from the world. There is another way that I read this, and it goes more in the direction of showy, being showy. You want to have things because they're going to make you look good. And man, that's a big problem. And that's what those kids were looking at. They wanted to look good. They wanted to fit in. They were thinking, here's this big world around us, and all these people are doing that. It's obvious. It's all over the place. So I want to fit in. So they do that too. They want to look good. They want to fit in. And that's one of the lies that Satan uses. God is saying, you don't fit in. You don't fit in. You belong to me, and I am not of this world. I am much greater than this world, and I have something much greater for you in store if you follow me. You have to turn that around in your head. Don't think that fitting in is so important. Don't think that because your friends get to do something that you don't get to do, that that's the worst thing in the world. That shows that your parents are showing concern for you. Don't follow the crowd. You know, don't follow the crowd. Just remember, you have your own decisions to make, and in the end, you will be held responsible for them. And don't be so quick to judge your parents. It's commanded in the Bible. You're supposed to honor your mother and father. It's not just like you can sometimes get mad at them and not talk to them and slam your door and go in your room and never. Those things just don't exist in the Bible. And they're there for a reason. You're supposed to respect them because they are given an authority to you by God. So don't fall into patterns of following the crowd and thinking like, if my friend does it, then I get to do it, and if I don't get to do it, then I'm going to really curse or, you know, do something so that I hurt my parents. You do that, you're going to be going down the wrong road. This is when hearing the Bible in a situation in church is really good for us, because we're supposed to take this home with us. You're not just supposed to sit here and try to get through the service and then, you know, go, wow, that's over with, so let's... You're supposed to think about these things, you know? The Word of God is important for us to apply at home. And parents, you have to have patience with your kids, too, and understand that they're under these kind of stresses. The pull of the world is an amazing thing. It's an amazingly hard thing for young people to do, especially when they're outnumbered. If they have three friends or four friends that are all doing something like getting pregnant, it's very hard for that, if you're a friend of theirs, to say, oh, you know, I'm not going to do that. Because that's the way the world works. They gang up on people. They start to make you feel like what you're thinking, somehow, although it is pure and although it is right, they make it look like it's not. So talk to your children, get on the ball, go home, and start talking about what you're seeing in the newspapers or in the magazines at A&P. Don't let your kids get by on their own. They need your help. They don't need somebody to yell at them after they've messed up and gotten pregnant. What they need is for someone to guide them. And as parents, it is our responsibility to do that, to ignore sometimes the feeling that our children are going to hate us, and to love them anyway, even if it makes it uncomfortable. Okay? And that's all in here. Okay? This is all in here that God is trying to tell us in these three verses here. Right? For adults, we also have to be on the ball. We have to understand that we are setting examples to our children, and it's time for us to stop doing things that we used to do. Children watch us, and they look to see examples. And if we don't present examples of love and what God is trying to say here, not to be taken with the lusts of the eyes and of the flesh, and boasting and wanting things, and making things more important than children, making your possessions and showiness for yourself more important than your church or the things that are going on in your lives. Children see it all, and they pick up on it. And if we're not careful, they follow our lead. And we can be just as destructive or more so destructive to our children than their friends. We need to wake up and smell the coffee and start to live lives that God is expecting us to live and encourage each other to do so that we can stand before Him at the end and say, Lord, I have tried to do what You have said. I know I'm a sinner, but I, through the grace of God and the blood of Jesus Christ, I'm saved. But at least I have tried to do what is written in Your word and to teach my children the same thing. It goes on to say, the world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. This is a very important part of this, okay? What is the difference between the love of God and the things that God has to offer and what the world has to offer? It goes back to what I was saying about Satan. Satan wants to destroy life. And the people of this world are living for today because they know that these things are going to have an end. And it says right here, they pass away. They will have an end. And slowly it's disintegrating as time goes on. But when a person doesn't have what they want and they see it slipping away, there's a tendency for that person to get even more destructive. And God is saying, don't have any part of these people because they're going to pass away. But the love of God lasts forever. And so it's important for us, even though these concepts may be hard for you to understand at this time in your life, it's hard for me to understand the idea of eternity. But eternity only takes on value and meaning, and it gives us only a clear picture when we see Christ before us and the cross that bore our sins. And when we see Christ risen from the dead, and we see His resurrection, and we offer this to the world, they're going to say, how can that be? People who are renowned Christians themselves have said, the thing that held me back from believing in God was this whole concept of the resurrection. How could God possibly overcome death? How could God possibly give His Son, Jesus Christ, His own blood for my sin? How could something be? And the Bible teaches us that it's beyond our human wisdom. But it's true. And there are witnesses of it who have written down what they have seen here. It is truth. And anyone who has tasted the salvation, the feeling of being forgiven of the sin that has been burdening you all through your life, and you're free suddenly of all of this turmoil and darkness, and suddenly cast into the light and feeling that you can live again, those people attest to the fact that the Christ that we worship is real. And we must look at the world around us, and we must not fear the world. We must go to the world and present Christ to it. But if we are in the world and we are tempted by the world, then we must flee and get away from it as fast as we can. If you think that in your own power that you can go in and you can fix a situation with worldly people, then you're in for a big surprise. And it's a very, very dangerous thing to do. You must rely on the armor of God. You must be fit. You must study the Word of God. You must pray. You must fellowship with other Christians. You cannot do it on your own. You must rely on God's strength. And only through His strength can we go to the world and present them the way that Paul did. He was prepared. He went to them prepared. And in the end, he lost his life for Jesus. I want to draw your attention to the verse in John, in the prayer of Jesus, that gives us great wisdom. John 17. In verse 6, it says, this is Jesus speaking. He's praying, "I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world." And thus the sermon title, "Out of the World." "They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word." Brothers and sisters, we must keep God's word. We have been entrusted with it. We must keep it. The world is watching us. We have nothing to offer to the world if we say we want to be like them. But we have everything to offer the world if we say we want to be unlike them. They must see the difference in Christ in us. If we don't, then we are no different than they are. And we love the world, and the Father is, and His love is not in us. God gave Jesus these men out of the world. And so they were taken out of the world that they lived in to serve Him. And they remained in the world to present the world with His salvation. And many of them lost their lives for it. What do we do? Are we going to do the same thing? God is asking us that today. What are we going to do? Are we going to take God's words to heart and worship Him in truth? Are we going to mix in with the world so that we don't have to be persecuted? Or are we going to stand up for what is right so that this world around us can be saved from its sin? There's two things that I want to leave you with that you can keep in mind. Okay? There's actually another scripture I wanted to read, but maybe we'll just do it another day. It's enough. First of all, we need to let God's love reign in our hearts. All right, let me read you one verse here. I'm not verse, a sentence here that puts it more effectively than I can. This is from F.F. Bruce. "The one effective antidote to worldliness is to have one's heart so filled with the Father's love that it has no room for any love that is incompatible with it." We must fill and allow our hearts to be filled with God's love and have no part of the love of the world. And the second thing is that we have to remember that the worldly lusts are passing. And this helps us also and encourages us that the worldly things that we seek are all going to pass away, right? While God and His love are eternal. And if you're like me, and you don't understand what eternity is, then you need to dive into your Bible, and you need to be prayerful about this, and God will reveal His eternity to you, and you will begin to understand it. There have been things going on in my life over the past 2 weeks that I can never describe to anybody. But one thing that stood always before me is that this life ends, and the flesh thereof, but the love of God is eternal. And He reveals Himself to us through the fellowship of believers in this church. And He reveals Himself through people who come to the side of a person whose father is dying. And He reveals Himself in ways that you would never ever imagine until you reach the point where you have to face that in your life. And those things point out to me, brothers and sisters, that our God is real. He is the real deal. He is the one, the true God, the way, the truth, and the life, the one who conquered death so that those who believe in him, though they die, yet shall they live. And that is the God that we have to present to this world. So when you leave this place and wherever you go, it be in a college or at your work or wherever it is in the surrounding area, you need to represent Christ. And you show it in the way that you live. You show it when you say no to temptation. You say no to your friends who want to convince you to stay online when your mom and dad said no. You show it by your obedience. And if you stick to it, and you're brave enough to do that, then the world will notice, and they too will have a desire and a chance to pursue what they see that is truth in you. And in the end, they will discover that it is found in the name Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came to save our wicked world from its sin. Let's pray together. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you so much for your great mercy and truth that is found in your Son, Jesus Christ, who conquered death, who sought not his own way, Lord, but sought the way of truth that he knows to be in you. And his life and his purpose here on earth was not of his own, but it was to obey his Father. Help us to be obedient, Father. Help us to be obedient. Help us to realize, Lord, that the things that we taste and see are nothing in comparison with the love that is in the eternal grace that is given to us through Jesus Christ. Help us to know, Lord, that the things that we can see now and the things we are so blessed with in our lives are only there, Lord, because you have allowed them to be. But help us most of all, Lord, to realize that our allegiance, that our obedience must be to you, because your purpose, Father, your purpose is to bring yourself glory that is deserved. And we are only a part of it. Help us, Lord, while we live in this world, to live not for the world, but to live for you. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.